You are now listening to the Ryan Out Loud podcast, a podcast that was created as a safe space for Black queer creatives. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Fresh. The music you just heard at the beginning of this episode is courtesy of Fresh. His song, Reset, from his 2022 album, The Soft Spot. Thank you, Fresh. Before I allow this episode to continue, please, you are looking at a new artwork that was designed by me, but the photo of me was taken by Breezy. She is a photographer based here in Pittsburgh, and I saw her work with a mutual on Facebook earlier this year, and I had to work with her. I loved the style. I loved how she made melanin skin pop, and she did that for me. Kind of did like a two thing. I did some cover art theme, you know, that would be the option for the cover art of this season, which you see I have chosen. And I did some birthday ones that were kind of themed for my birthday, and she absolutely did amazing, and I have to shout her out. You can find Breezy on Instagram at CB_photography412. So support her, book her if you're in the Pittsburgh area. You won't be disappointed, I promise. Let's get into this episode, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, gays and days, all you beautiful people, welcome. Season 6 of Ryan Out Loud. We're back in the flow of things, and I am so excited about this episode. This has been a work. This has been in the makings for, you know, since I saw it announced that it was coming to, is it Tubi? Tubi?
Tubi is on Tubi.
Okay, since it was coming to Tubi, which it's been out for about a month, but let me get to it. My guests are, you know, a writer, director, and we have the lead actor of the viral hit, the sensation, the number one movie on Tubi, Bobby Ashley, welcome.
Hello, and everyone.
The lead actor, Keith Grimes, correct?
Grimes, correct.
Okay. Welcome, y'all.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. Thank you for doing this show with me, this episode with me. I am like beyond excited. I'm dropping my notes and stuff.
That's all right.
First of all, how are you guys doing? If Single Man Problems have been, volume 1, has been out for a little over a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little over a month. How are we feeling? How's everything? Excuse me. I should have said award winning actor.
That part.
Award winning actor. Award winning actor.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Forgive me. So let me shut up and let you guys talk. How are we feeling? How are we feeling? You know, the number one movie. Let's see. How many hits on TikTok with that one scene?
It's right now at 12.6 million views on TikTok. 12.6 million views.
Wow.
Yeah, over 2 million likes as we speak. And it just hit Facebook today because folks on Facebook are now picking it up. And Instagram is just doing their big one. So it's gradually growing. But TikTok, it has TikTok in the chokehold, over like 2,000 recreations of the soundbite. Yeah, Keith's voice is viral on TikTok.
So you know, you know, you have to make that you guys have to market that. Get that through your head. Like, get that through your
head. We have a few things coming down the pipeline. So
Bet. Yeah. I'm gonna put my order in. Let me get my
We have a few things coming. We have a few things coming.
Because I will rock that. Get that through your head.
Get that through your head. You have to.
I can't believe that, like, my voice is viral. It's so crazy every time I go on TikTok and I see a video and it's my voice, I just be like, I kind of cringe a little bit. Yeah. But it's so crazy that it's my voice.
That is you. That is what I like. I love that. I get on, you know, one time I jumped on and it was the first video. You know, you randomly just get on TikTok. Right. I'm like, I love this. I love that. People are catching on and, you know,
yes.
Bobby, I see you through the comments, like, go watch the film.
Yeah.
You know, like, you are active in the comments. I was scrolling, you know.
Bobby is very active in all comments across all social media.
All social media.
You will see Bobby in the comments, baby, okay?
Yes. I sure will. Okay, listen.
As you should.
Listen, go ahead.
That is
as
how I should. Things have, you know,
market.
Like, yes, recently, like, just things just pick up because of social media. I think it's, you know, a lot of people, you know, we have our pros and cons about social media, but when it's working,
when the pros outweigh the cons, it definitely, you know, it's up from there. And it's,
yeah.
you know, because some filmmakers, they don't, you know, it's hard to market because some people just don't know their audience. We're grateful that we know our audience and we know what they want, and we're able to provide, you know, give them what they want. And it was so crazy because we had a clip before that was picking up, and we're like, okay, me, Keith and I were like, oh, maybe this is going to hit a million. Oh no. When that clip dropped, when I tell you, I had to put my TikTok notifications on silent. I was like, oh, okay, I cannot respond to everyone. Oh my goodness, wait a minute. Oh Lord. All right, put on silent. Because it's just... every time I open my app, 99 plus notification, every, and then once I start seeing people recreate this with the sound bite and be so creative with you know their videos, I'm like, oh my goodness. And then other popular TikTokers picking up using that video. And now today I saw that some people are remixing the audio. So I'm like, oh Lord.
Oh God, I'm gonna live forever.
Remix.
Yeah, it's gonna live on forever. It's a wrap.
I love that.
It's not dying down anytime soon.
As long as they just go to Tubi
and watch
it.
Exactly.
That's what I really care about. That's what matters, okay?
That's what matters. Absolutely.
So, that goes in. Okay, Bobby, this question is for you, right? Let's go back to the very beginning, right? Like I said, I think, you know, I remember seeing clips of, you know, Single Man Problems through Here TV, but, you know, on YouTube is how I would see it. But let's go back to the beginning of, in that creative mind of yours, of when, like how it came about. Was there a different title? You know, who was Ronnie still Ronnie? Like, let's talk about the beginning before we jump into the film, what it is at this moment.
Absolutely. So basically, I decide right after I did my web series, my first series, The Av, which was doing this big one at the time, being like Amazon Prime. I was like, I want to pivot in a different direction. I wanted to really touch, you know, really dive into myself and step into my full authentic voice with this project. So I decided to collaborate with Robin McKellow. He and I, my co-writer, co-creator, co-director, my creative partner right there, right-hand man on this project. We met at Brooklyn College and I told him, I'm like, hey, listen, I got this project called Single Man Problems. Do you want to be a part of it? He said, I pitched him the story. He was like, oh, let's do it. Dope. We wrote the script. At the time when it was a web series, we wrote the script in like two months. And that's when we started to start casting. And I was fortunate to cast the amazing Keith Grimes as the lead. And from there, we just, you know, started to just build the project, you know, really discover more of Ronnie. How I came about with Ronnie. Well, I mean, the character name is Ronnie. My name is Bobby. There you go. So, so you know, I pulled from some, you know, real life, you know, situations. I never catfished anyone, though. Never did that.
Yeah,
dealt with someone. Okay, a little bit about that. But, you know, with that being said, it was Bobby being 23, 24, still trying to find himself, still trying to really get understand who he is, and Ronnie became that outlet for me to decide to say, okay, this is me stepping to my own authentic voice. I'm not afraid to tell these stories let's get the ball rolling. And so it just took on a life of its own. From there, we shot the first four episodes at the time when it was a web series in 3 days. And we premiered at the New York Latino Film Festival in 2018, hosted by HBO at the time, now hosted by Warner Media. And that's when we got a licensing deal with Here TV towards the end of 2018. And that's when they premiered the first four episodes. But we went back and we said, hey, we want to finish, you know, the season. And Robin and I got back in the room and rewrote. And that's when, during that time, I was going through situation. So I had to, you know, get a lot of things off my chest. Yes. And so, you know, I just wrote it and just put it out there. And Keith and I was having a good old time talking about the character, where the character's going. And so we shot the last four episodes in 3 days. And that's when it was out there. And then in 2020, Keith Grimes, he received a pre-daytime Emmy nomination for his performance. And it was so great to have that moment because I was like, oh my God, this is happening. And then obviously COVID hit. And then, you know, we decided to try to find a way to pivot the project to another platform. And then Tubi came about. But the thing is, each episode at the time was 8 to 10 minutes. Eight episodes, 8 to 10 minutes. To put on a platform like Tubi, if you're doing episodic, you need to have between 15 and 25 minutes, you know? Okay. So yeah, we decided to say, you know what, let's cut all the episodes together. Let's start from scratch, put all the episodes into one, you know, and make it a serialized movie. And, you know, redo the voiceovers, redo the edits, redo the color, because trust me, the color wasn't looking the way it's looking in the film in the web series. It wasn't. So, you know, it was a lot of dip into my savings now. But you know what? All of us, the entire team, we saw the vision and we just wanted to just bring this to Tubi and show them and debunk the narrative that independent Tubi movies are just quote unquote low budget. Now, granted, we didn't have a big budget, you know, but looking at the quality of the project, it's given very much.
You will never know what that budget is.
That part. So, you will never know. So with that being said, you know, with that being said, that was the journey of Sing Mary Poppins. 6 years, keep in mind, 6 years. We shot the first episode, the first four episodes in 2017, 18, 19, 20, to where we at now. So, you know, you just never know. The seeds that you plant may be those same seeds that's going to blossom to something that you'll be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor later down the line. So, you know, I'm very fortunate.
I'm on with a word, because how many times I would have gave up. I'm so impatient. Like, I don't know if it's because, you know, I am a Scorpio. I am very impatient. Like, I don't have that patience. I don't. I just can't. And that is, but I guess that's what happens when you believe in something and it's your baby, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess I can't say I'm patient because Ryan Out Loud is my baby. So this is my baby.
Exactly.
So I take that back. I do have some patience because sometimes I'll be like, you know, but were there ever time, you know, within this, like this 6 years that you were just like, I guess it's just not going to happen?
Well, I did have moments of feeling like there weren't enough people watching because of what we did. And I was like, oh my God, this is something you did, guys. You know, please come watch. But everything happens for a reason. Because look, you know, so I look back at those moments and those minor moments, you know, it was very temporary moments. And I'm like, wow. To see what it's doing now, that just lets you know. When you have those moments, just remember to stay the course. So it was always having those moments because we're human.
Yeah.
You know, we always gonna have those moments.
Oh yeah.
But knowing that you can get through, you're gonna get through it. So we just got through it. And once we realized with what Tubi was doing, the boom of Tubi, I'm like, oh, we need to join that house. And that house is still being built. You know, let's join the house that's still being built. So once it's complete, you know, we'll be able to establish ourselves fully establish ourselves. So Keith and I were just talking since last summer about, you know, the film version, and man, it's been a whirlwind, but you know, it's just not really giving up and having those moments, but understanding that something's better and greater is waiting for us on the other side. And this is
I kind of want to piggyback off that too a bit, because I feel like even though Here TV's audience wasn't like as massive as Tubi's, we had a lot of like nice success from Here TV with like all the nominations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me getting my first award. So it's mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we knew the show was good. We just wanted more people to see it. And right. just like the platform that it was on did not a lot for a tons of people to see it, which is why like we definitely had to do it. So we never like wanted to like give up. We always talked about like doing more with it because it was clearly something good. Off a very small channel like Here TV.
I love that. Like, so that narrative, you know, we, not even just in our community, but just in the Black community, Tubi gets a lot of flack. Like, mm-hmm. They catch a lot of stuff. Some stuff I crack up at. I think there's a whole TikTok account with, like, Tubi errors or something like that. Like, it's just...
Oh, my God. It takes Well, we know in that camp. So,
yeah, no, like, no, y'all, no, you were not actually at all. And, you know, the little plastic doll, baby dolls.
When my gosh, I saw that video. I'm like, what? But the first of all, okay, white plastic doll. Okay, yeah, I saw that.
But what would you tell the listeners that are like, because you have those people that are like, I want to give this, you know, show us a chance, but they really have a set mindset on too, because like, I mean, that's like me trying to watch Zeus. I'll never download Zeus. I can't. I couldn't. Okay. No shade. But what would you tell those listeners?
I want to tackle this question, Bobby.
Go ahead.
I would tell those listeners that just because a platform is known for having, for lack of better words, trash, not everything on the platform is trash.
Right.
And just based on like what I've seen online, the things that people say about seeing their problems, they're gagging that it's even on Tubi because of the quality of it. And so you just have to give certain things a chance, I think, sometimes. Yeah. You know, everything on BET is not bad, okay? Everything on BET is not bad. So give it a shot. It looks really good. The editing, the quality is phenomenal.
It is.
Like, the quality is phenomenal. Like, people would not be disappointed if they think they're about to watch some trash quality movie. This is definitely not going to be that.
Yes. Yeah. Like, get that narrative out your...
Get it out your head. Yeah.
Yeah, get it out your head. You know, like, man.
They talk about, you know, they're like, oh, we don't have this, we don't have that. Why, you know, but actually our representation is there.
And you know, so crazy. I actually made a tweet about that. You know, people, you know, it's so funny. They will, you know, say a lot of complaints. They're like, oh, we have this, we have that. And I literally listed like four different projects that I find very enjoyable. I'm like, we may not see, you know, the representation mainstream as of yet, but trust in the independent Black independent space is there. You know, it's just, you just have to find the project. But you know, nowadays folks, you know, they want things spoon fed to them, you know, as opposed to looking through certain catalogs and saying, I'm gonna find this, I'm gonna find that, oh, this look good, this look good. That's what I do. You know, I just don't, you know, I'm just not a fan of complaining. I'm a fan of solving the problem and being like, okay, oh, I'm gonna watch this project, I'm gonna watch that project, you know, and then just keep it pushing. So yeah, I mean, and then also lastly, look at Netflix. Netflix started out handing out DVDs. You know, when Amazon Prime
handing out DVDs.
Yes, it was a DVD. I took it way back. It was DVD.
You got to mail them in, right?
Yes, you have to mail them in. So Netflix was a time. You know, it was a time. Keep it stupid. And then he is cracking up. And then Amazon Prime. And then people be like, well, why you, I mean, one person asked me, you should stick my problem on Amazon Prime. I said, honey, I put my first show on Amazon Prime and I did my big one with that. So I wanted to just pivot in this direction. And then again, just giving the platform a chance, you know, understand Tubi is, things are changing over there, you know? So I give it the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be a huge change. And that's just to let everyone know, hey, stop, you know, saying that, oh, it's just trash, because it's not trash. And then also just let the filmmakers know who do put out low quality content, step your game up, because don't get too comfortable.
Oh,
just don't get too comfortable.
Wake it up.
Don't get too comfortable.
Wake it up.
Yeah, I just had to say that. Yeah. Step it up.
You got me speechless, and I always have something to say. Well, you heard the writer, director, step your shit up.
I'm so sorry in the middle of this recording. Someone's knocking on my door. I just have to go answer that real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay, so let's talk about single man problems. Let's jump into it, right? I'm gonna just read a little, just real quick. Single Man Problems, Volume 1. Ronnie Maxwell, a self-conscious gay black man, catfishes his way into finding love while navigating life as a millennial. God, can I read? Anyways, so, Keith.
Yes.
I want to talk about this process, right? The audition. How did this go? You auditioned for this role? How many auditions did it take? When did you know you were like, okay, can you relate to Ronnie? How, like, just give me the spill on your role, your journey to the lead, being the lead actor.
Okay. So I was around, I think like 23 at the time. I was working heavily as an actor. I just got signed to like my first agent, and I was just like trying to make a reel and like get some new headshots done. And I remember seeing like Bobby on Channel 12 News. And to like find jobs, I would use this website called Backstage. And I seen a casting he posted, and I saw his name, Bobby Ashley. I was like, I want to work with him because I knew he was from Brownsville. I'm also from Brownsville, Brooklyn. Come to find out, we actually like live like a few blocks apart, but yeah, really crazy. So I like sent in my headshots or whatever, like my resume. A few months later, Bobby finally emailed me back and he invited me. A few months, maybe.
Call him out.
Okay.
Call him out.
It was a month, not a few. I'm saying that.
A few months went by, okay? And Bobby finally emailed me back and I had my first audition. It went really, really well. I really wanted to be a part of the project because I just more so wanted to work with Bobby. I'm very confident in my acting skills, so no matter what role I would have gotten, I think I would have been able to portray it pretty well. But of course, I was going for the lead. But I auditioned for it 3 times. My first 2 auditions were just like a standard audition, was just like, you know, reading the script, role play. And then my 3rd audition was when I had a few scene partners. And it was at that audition that I knew I had the part, because I had 1 scene partner that came in, and he was just, let's say, he was not that prepared to audition that day.
Not at all.
And me and Bobby was just making faces at each other, just communicating with each other. And it was from that moment that I knew I had the part.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's right.
So I'm assuming that person you did a screen test did not move on to the.
They did not. Absolutely move on. Not. No, they did not. It was not a good audition.
I hope they're doing okay.
On their end. It was
on not their good end. Because we all were in that room like,
what is happening right now?
I hope they have learned their lesson.
Hopefully, child.
Hopefully. That was crazy, yeah. So, first of all, I have to go to the very first scene, right?
Oh, God.
Two questions. The outfit, okay?
Honestly.
The honest truth.
Every time I watch it back, I always say to my friends or whoever I'm watching with, I'm like, I wonder what we were going for right here. Because I don't remember what we were going for right there. I really don't remember.
I'll say it.
Say it, please.
Because it wasn't, we cut the joke out in the edit. So what happened was, originally Emmanuel was going to tell Ronnie when he came out the bathroom, the 90s came and went, bro, let it go. That was the way he was dressing. If you watch old Jodeci and Drew Hill, you know, it was that type of homage, because I'm a 90s buff. But that joke didn't make it into the cut. But when Ronnie says, when he mimics to Emmanuel later on the couch, oh, the 90s came and went, bro, let it go. That's where that's supposed to come from. So that was the whole connection, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody be asking me like, what the hell? Honestly, I don't remember.
I was sitting there like,
okay. Everyone said the same thing. I was like, okay.
Started like when we talked about it, we were messaging in the DMs, Bobby. I was like, listen. But I was like, you know what? I'm like, and I didn't want it to sound like, I just was curious. It was like curiosity.
You're not the first one who actually brought it up to me. They like, Bobby, so we love it. But about the tie and the shirtless
and the jean jacket.
What, any thoughts? Because I'm very curious to know. Like, you know,
what's
that
about?
Yeah, and you know, that's the Caucasian version. And then the Black version, what the he was wearing, because what is going on? And then, you know, I had to. It does explain to people, I'm like, you know, and then the X, Y, Z, but we didn't include that in edit, you know. And then like, oh, okay, got it. And then now I know next time, Bobby, keep the joke.
Thank you for telling
you
me.
You know, but that's an insider. That's an insider for folks who may not know when they watch this, listen back to the episode, they're going to be like, oh, now I get it.
So, now I get it. So, yeah.
Thank you. Good.
I was curious because I had to. I think I wrote that in Sharpie. To ask like what was going on. So I'm gonna tell you from my perspective of watching this film, I'm looking at you because you play. I've never ever in my life wanted to pull a character out of the television like, what are you doing?
Listen.
And Bobby, we were talking, and I was just like, as mad as I was like getting at Ronnie, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. I know.
There you go.
So now it was one of those like, damn,
said not me.
And I'd be like, damn, I did that before, or I've had those conversations before, like.
Ronnie is in his 20s figuring life out. And
so Ronnie, and like, now I've come up with this theory and I'm going to tweet it too. Okay. Ronnie, Noah, and Issa are all related in some way. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all related.
Y'all cousins in different universes, something, because.
I think the reason why Ronnie just does a lot of dumb SHIT. It's because I remember when Single Man Problems was in its like very early stages, we wanted to like change the narrative of like how like gay people are portrayed on TV. Yeah. And so we wanted Ronnie to be the most conventionally unattractive kind of gay man. Like he doesn't have a muscular body. He wears glasses. His frame is very like frail and skinny. He's short. We just wanted him to be very unconventionally unattractive. And because he's unconventionally unattractive, whatever the hell gets thrown at him, he takes it. If it's Curtis, if it's his ex, whoever is trying to get with him, he's here for it because he's just not the kind of guy that gets chased after. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that kind of comes from as far as like Ronnie's attitude and why he just is a single man with so much goddamn problems.
Yeah. And then just to piggyback on that, you know, it dates back to the opening question in the film, which is a thematic question, Screenwriting 101. It's basically, what is true love without unpacking your past trauma? So Ronnie has a lot of unpacking to do. And I cannot wait until we really peel back the onion with his character, his journey, because that is going to allow the audience to see him like, oh, this is the why.
Okay.
This is the why, you know? And for me, that's the best part of the one that I want to... The important parts of creating characters as a general. I always ask, but what is the why? Why is he doing this? Why is he moving this way? Why is he with a guy like Curtis? What is going on? What happened at home that got him moving the way he's moving in the world?
Yeah, because mom kept calling.
That part.
And I was curious. There was a couple things I was like, okay, all right. Like, mom. Then it was the... Like, as a fan, this is me as a fan, I understand the process. But as a fan, I was like, why didn't he talk to his best friend's girlfriend? Like, what? He got her. It was one of those when you watch, like, just say something. But you know, you got to make us want to watch more, right?
There you go.
So
you go.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
As you know, like I say, Ronnie, I was like, ooh, I was like, sitting there like, Ronnie,
get it together, shake it him.
Together. But then I'm like, shake then him. I'm like, then I think about it, I was like, well, my life is in shambles. So, is you really going to get mad at this character when your life is just like, oh, it ain't no DL man, though. That's in my past, though. That's,
amen.
You mm-hmm. know,
that part
delivered from.
Delivered, right?
Highly delivered. It was fun. No, it wasn't fun. Very. Mm-hmm. I take it.
Yeah.
So, volume one is out.
Yes, it is. Numbers I'm proud.
You know what? I'm gonna save that. That's my ending question. Let's keep going. Let's go on. Let me go on. I'm gonna get back to that. Keith, this is another question for you.
Okay.
I should have asked this at the beginning, but like I said, Ryan Out Loud is just a free platform, and we were just talking and laughing and having a good old time.
Yeah, we having a good time.
We having a good old funky time.
Acting for you, right? Because you had Ronnie down to the T.
Okay? Down to the T.
Phenomenal, right?
Thank you.
Acting was always number one for you?
Yeah. I don't know. I fell in love with acting part when I was around like 7 years old. That's when I joined like the drama club inside my school. I knew I was gay at a very young age. And so I did not know how to like hide my gayness. I was very like shy about it. I would like try to date girls or whatever. But I'm saying all that to say, when I got introduced into acting, it was like the only way I could like hide the fact that I'm gay and just escape like being myself for however amount of minutes, you know? And so that's how I fell in love with acting. I did like my first stage play when I was about 12 years old. I always wanted to be a really big actor, be really famous, do a lot of stuff. And in a small way, Single Man Problems has like made all of my acting dreams come true.
Yeah.
You know, not in the accolades that I imagined it to happen, but it still happened. And I'm really grateful for that. As far as like now in my life, is acting number one? No, it's not. But will I ever do more acting roles? Yeah, of course. If Bobby needs me for anything, Bobby, no, what he got to do is call me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Because I meant to ask that at the beginning because it was just so natural for you. And what I love to see, and that's going to go into my next question, is when, you know, I feel like I've talked to a lot of people, friends that have, you know, that are acting or when they have to, you know, they identify as queer or gay, you know, and they have to act a certain way, but they like those roles where they can just be, you know, they don't have to act so hard. It's like, this is a part of my identity and I can be comfortable in this role. So my next question, and this both of you guys can answer this, and I tweeted when you guys announced that the date was coming out, we have this. And what I mean by we, the Black queer community, mm-hmm. we have this thing of, you know, complaining about the lack of Black gay representation mm-hmm. in media, film, music, all of that. On my end, it's a problem for me in books, mm-hmm. you know. I feel like we have so many more stories to tell than just stories based on our trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everybody does not have the same story. I understand that, but I feel like we deserve some. And when I there's a difference to me. There's, you know, we deserve drama, not trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's drama in Single Man Problems, right? And maybe some trauma actually, maybe a little bit of trauma that is a little bit, but. Drama, you know, comedy, you know, love stories, deserve to be able to tell those stories, you know, to see those stories being told. And Black on Black gay love, okay? No shade to the interracial agenda. It's not my tea. I love me a Black man, okay? All day through. But what do you say to those, you know, like, hey, I have a project that is Black. Yay, with a, you know, Keith, I'm sorry, you identify as gay, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you know, I don't, Hold on. You know, I don't want to.
No, it's fine. Over.
It's fine.
My pronouns are he, she, they, that bitch. Okay.
Ah. Period. So, yeah. You know, no one, you know, you identify. So, like, what would you say to those, like, you know, you see those tweets like, oh, I need to see more Black gay stories or this, this, and that. What to the listeners, to those, like, what would you say? And both of you, please answer.
What I would say, honestly, I don't like a vague kind of complaint. And so when you say, oh, I want to see more Black gay stories, girl, what kind? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? Because there are many filmmakers that are Black and gay that's trying to make content or like find some idea to make. So, of course, they're going to scour the internet. But if they just see all these vague complaints that they just want to see something Black and gay, what Black and gay story do you want to see?
That's why I
love like the single man problem fans. Mm-hmm. They're so interactive with like me, Bobby. Yes. Different cast members. I love that. They give us feedback. We listen.
Yes. Okay.
From TV to 2B, I tell people all the time, this is a whole different series. It's a whole different thing. The way it's, I just think people should, if you're going to complain, make it exact as to what the hell you want to see or what the hell you're complaining about so that somebody can fix it. Or how about you pick up your pen and your notepad and you write something and you come out with something. How about you do the work as well?
Mic drop.
I agree. I feel like, you know, the internet is full of folks just want to hear themselves and they just want to, you know, talk. It's easy to talk, but it's hard as heck to do. So, you know, you could be a talker, but are you a doer? And even if you're not a creative, you can kindly go on the platforms and look for the type of content you want. Going back to what I said before, you know, oh, we want this. Okay, what do you want? I want fantasy. Okay, Black gay fantasy. Huh, Black this, boom. We have Google. You know, it's the content is there, especially from Black independent filmmakers. It's like, we're doing the work. Even though we may not have the mainstream push, but we're doing the work. So get behind us. You know, get behind the story that we're telling. So when that time do come, these executives can be like, wow, there's an audience here. We know the audience is here. They don't know that yet. Because in their minds, they're thinking, oh, okay, maybe, if so, blah, 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 blah. But the numbers do matter. So when folks show up in droves, they will see, wow, there's an audience here. So I always tell people, like Keith said, stop complaining, be specific about what you want, and then get behind the independent filmmakers who are actually putting the work out there. I've seen some great Black queer stuff, you know, films, independent series out there. And I'm like, wow, amazing. Kudos to you for doing that. And I look like, why the community isn't talking about this? Like, So, you know, it's just, that's a whole different conversation. And we're just fortunate to have Single Man Problems have a diverse audience, you know, like a diverse audience of people just coming and watching, even though they're cackling at that clip. But they sure enough, I'm in the comments saying, yeah, y'all cackling, but go to Tubi and go watch the film. And then they want to watch the movie. Then they come back and let us know who was good with volume 2 at, you know, so that part.
There you go. So let's talk about the music aspect.
Hey, let me give you your flowers real quick. Okay. Because, you know, Keith, I tweeted via the Single Man Problems page. I'm like, I'm looking for Black queer artists, and you retweeted. And that's how I got, you know, Bobby. That's how I got Rob. That's how I got, you know, so many of them to come over and send me their information and really? Be like, hey, yeah. I'm so your retweet really helped usher in to help with bring the soundtrack to where it's at. So I thank you truly.
Thank you. I'm sensitive sometimes.
No, that's fine. I'm a Cancer, so I get it.
It's you're Cancer?
I'm a Cancer. But I'm a July. Wow. Damn. Okay. Damn.
Oh, I have amazing Cancer friends, though. I will say, like, a lot of my three closest friends are Cancers. Two of them, yeah.
Okay.
Female friend. And I call y'all emotional thugs. Like,
yeah, we are.
and then I'm the mean emotional Scorpio, but anyways. But I do remember seeing that tweet. I remember when you first tweeted it. And, you know, one thing I'm big on and what I love with you when you put it out there is sticking to your own.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole reason when season two of Ryan Out Loud came out, I revamped it as a safe space to for Black queer creatives, because during the pandemic, starting to, you know, like,
right.
I had nothing else to do but scroll the timeline. There's a whole realm of Black queer art, independent artists that put out some really amazing music. And Bobby, Rob, Warren,
mm-hmm.
Fresh, oh yes. My God, Mendino Green, Brian, mm-hmm. 7D. There's so many. And I'm for, you know, Taylor Gray.
Yep.
I'm missing so many. That are deserving. So when I heard the when I watched the trailer and I heard Rob and Bobby, mm-hmm. I literally cried.
Aww.
I love them. Bobby, yes. you know, Bobby's been on the show. Rob has been on the show. You know, they have both been on the show and I really support them through and through. And I love them. I check on them. You know, I try my hardest to check on them, you know, and check on them. So it's more like a, you know, I've created friendships from this show. So seeing them get their flowers and in trailers and, you know, featured in the film was just like beautiful. And I love you for doing that, for putting our own, because a lot of, you know, directors, you know, they
mm-hmm.
hear films and they don't put, you know, they're like, just, you could have put it.
The audience is there. Is there,
you know,
so
we love mm-hmm. the allies, we love them, you know,
but
there are actually really good Black gay independent artists, Black artists period, you know,
right?
But I have a question, like, how does that, like, when you, you know, the scenes in the movie, like, how it, like, my brain wouldn't cooperate. Like, I've finished the first draft of my book, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to, you know, curate a list of music of artists that I can hear in the background, Black gay artists that will be, you know, featured in the back of the book. But I'm like, oh, how can I, like, isn't, you know, that's just on paper, but like, you film it, you know, you write it first and then you put it on, you know, you refilm it and everything. Like, how does that work? Because I don't think I'm going to work like that. I don't.
Well, you know, when it comes to the writing, I actually create like a personal playlist of the characters. And that's when I'm in the mood, you know, depending on the scene, whose scene is it, I play that playlist and then it will get me through the writing process. As far as, you know, the soundtrack is concerned, one thing I love is, as a filmmaker, you have to know your movie in and out. You know, you have to know the mood, you have to know the flowetry of your film. So you'll be able to know at the right mark when to place the music. So how you want the music to transition into the scene. You know, you just want to put it there, let it slowly, gradually rise, you know, as we hear the intro a bit. And then as the scene goes deep, it's boom, the music plays, you know. So one of my favorite moments is the shower scene, you know, and Mr. Worth It comes on. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just fits so. I'm like, oh my God, he's like playing it back. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. Like, even when Rob's Showtime, when Ronnie comes out the bathroom, and that's his moment of just, you know, bam, I have arrived. And even when Bobby's song comes on, Lack of You, you know, and that, I'm like, who the emotions, who you carrying, the scene, what's going on? But I say that to say, it just know your movie inside out. So that's how I approach, you know, the soundtrack with the movie. Now, I also learned from back in the day, you know, from the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack to the Love and Basketball soundtrack to the Boys in the Hood soundtrack, Do the Right Thing. A lot of Black cinema back in the day, they soundtracked 8th. So I'm like, okay, how can I mimic that but make it more modern? You know, so I love the fact that this soundtrack, you know, not only, you know, all across the board, Black queer artists, but it really
you know, pushes the movie forward. You know, I feel like the music really elevated the film. You know, because without music, there's no movie. You know, without the right music, there's no movie. Because I watch some movies and I'll be like, Chad, you could have left that on the cutting room floor and put something else. But, you know, with that being said, it just, you have to know your film inside out.
Yeah. Thank you. Noted. Thank you. All right. So I have a few more questions. This one, I have one for you, Bobby. One for you, Keith. And then the last one is
both of us.
I want you both to answer.
Okay.
So, Bobby, as a writer, director, what advice would you give to an upcoming, you know, filmmaker, writer? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to someone that's listening?
Okay. Well, one, study the craft. This is a craft. It is, if you want to treat it like a hobby, then so be it. But if you want to take this serious, study your craft. You know, what I mean by studying your craft, take classes, read scripts, watch movies, watch TV shows, watch the TV show with your favorite pilot, watch the movie with your favorite, with the script, you know, watch director's commentary, you know, to hear the process, be involved in some acting classes. Even if you're not an actor, every director and writer should be taking acting classes. Because that's how you know how to communicate with your actors. Get involved in theater more. I had to learn that. My boy Terrence Day, shout out to him. He put me on to the theater world more. He said, if you want to be a better artist, you need to stick your teeth in the theater world. So get involved in theater. And you know, just know your voice. And once you know your voice, stick to it. Because that your unique voice is what's gonna stand out. Yes, everyone wants to create the next big thing. And that's the problem in Hollywood now. Everyone want to create the next big thing as opposed to trusting an artist and trusting their voice so they can stand out. So those are my tips. And I have two more things. Collaboration is key. This journey, don't think you're about to go on this journey solo dolo. If you think you won't do the solo dolo, then you're going to remain where you are 5 years from now in the same spot. So collaboration is key. And last but certainly not least, as artists, but as people, we all have egos. But there's a time when you have to put your ego on mute, everybody on mute. That's it. It's me and my crew, big energy, do your big one. And that's how you will persevere.
Come on. Come on. I have to use that sound clip. Yeah, no, for real. Okay. Wow. Spitting gems and knowledge and truth. Thank you for that, Bobby.
No problem.
So, Keith, my question to you, okay, the award-winning actor, okay, what advice would you give to any upcoming actors or actresses?
I would say don't be afraid to do things that are outside of your comfort zone. You cannot be afraid to go outside of your comfort zone. Like just a little bit of tea. Single Man Problems is the only time where I, as an actor, played a gay character. Every other role I've ever played in my life has been straight. For the sole purpose of, I want to see if I can make straight look believable on me. For the sole purpose. And so, and yeah, like Bobby said, collaboration is key. You cannot make it in this journey by yourself. Get to know people. Don't be afraid to do work that is not going to pay you because you're going to make great connections. You never know where the project can go. I did an off-Broadway play one time for like, it only was supposed to run for a day. It sold out really well. It ran for like 2 weeks and I got paid for it. Did not know I was going to get paid for it. So you never know where something is going to go. Get into some background work so you can gain experience on what it's like to be on a set.
Yeah.
Okay, people shit on background work, but you can make some coin off of background work. No
kidding. Okay. No,
and sure. Any agency will sign you because you're just doing the background. They don't
really cast.
Cast the network, camera casting. They will cast you. I was trying all those places when I was trying to be an actor. And then, like Bobby said, own your craft. If you cannot afford any acting classes, you can't afford to do that, go sit in front of the mirror, find you a good monologue that you could relate to, and just do it. The best judge of us is us because we know ourselves the best. At least I hope that we all do. If you don't, go see a therapist. But but on your
craft. Listen, hold on. I don't know. Y'all got to come back as co-hosts or something. You guys are a key.
This is 6 years. 6 years. 6 years.
I'm holding my ugly laugh because I want to bust out laughing. That's crazy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. That's fine. No,
I'm sure you know, but you have to own your craft. Don't be afraid to do projects that aren't free. Make sure you got a good friend that's a photographer, a good friend that's a videographer, and a good friend that's a cinematographer, and you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. Make your friends. Make your friends in this industry because you're going to need them.
Right. Build your tribe. Build your tribe. And that's one thing, you know, I forgot to mention. Build your tribe, because I met my producer, Mikael, and my boy Jay. I met Jay through Mikael, but me and Mikael go back to Brooklyn College, you know. And I remember when I did the ad, I gave a script. I said, girl, I want you to produce this, and we're going to shoot it this summer. She said, oh, okay. And so we decided to gather everyone. It was a few people at the time. But once the ad took off, word got around at film school, to the point where the head of the film department was like, hey, you want to use the equipment? You let me know. You know, to the point where everyone was like, yo, I ain't doing nothing this weekend. I can help you light. I can do sound. You know, I do cam. I can do boom. So it was just, that's how you build your tribe of people. It's putting that ego on what? Mute. And making sure that, you know, you gather your tribe of people who will come through and be ready. Because you never know. Years from now, they may be a cinematographer on this show, or they may be, you know, in this position. They may be, you know, maybe there's the assistant to the executive who is greenlight projects. And that executive is saying, the head development said, hey, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. You know someone? And they're like, oh, I got you. Hey, X, Y, and Z. Remember that script you wrote? You still got that script? Well, listen, my boss is looking for, come in, boom, there you go. You just never know in this business. You just never know. So that's why you have to continue to nurture genuine connections, because at the end of the day, you just never know where things will go. Like outside of my work, that's how I was able to connect. That's how I was able to get high and do different things, because people saw me, and that was like 7 years in the making, you know. And the one last thing my professor told me, he said, I think it was Samuel L. Jackson said this. He said, never step on the toes of the, excuse my language, asses that you may have to kiss. You know, so it was like, whew, okay. Because eventually those tables do turn.
They do turn.
The tables do turn. So, yeah.
Y'all can cuss on here. I meant to tell y'all.
Oh, okay. We were just trying to be PG-13.
Baby, I've been holding back.
We approached the PG-13. We was like, you know, we don't know.
I was waiting for you to curse it because you haven't cursed
yet. I thought I did.
I don't think you cursed at all. I've been over here trying to be a good boy.
Right, a good boy. We like, okay, you know, that's all I was saying, ish, and you know, just.
As I said it, because Keith spelt that shit, S-H-I. I'm like, what the fuck? Say it.
Well, now we know.
We were trying to be professional, we did.
Right, we're trying to be professional. You're like, you know.
Now you know, but yeah, I'm like.
Okay, well, good. Well, now I can really loosen up. Okay.
So, this is the last question, but I do have, you know, I'm going to try and get some Ryan Out Loud exclusives.
All right.
Anyways, so this last question is, you both can answer. And I've been ending Ryan Out Loud with this question for all of my seasons, just about. And I ask this question because things can change from months to a year to a decade. So my question to you both, Bobby and Keith, Bobby, it doesn't matter who answers how, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, I'll go first. The advice I give to my younger self is, you know, it may sound cliche, but I'll just simply tell him, stay the course, and what you're going through is just preparing you for what's to come in life, you know, because looking back at, you know, I actually had that moment like a few days ago. I'm like, dang, you know, I grew up and I went through certain situations, but it definitely prepared me, you know? So I'll say, you know, just, you're going to be all right. You know, you're going to be all right. Now, if you got to punch a few people in their face, do that on your way up. But nevertheless, you're gonna be good.
you're gonna be good. And know that Brownsville it is not your end all be all. Trust. You're going places, champ. So that's our time.
You've been thinking. First,
you're thinking. He is thinking.
Hand, you can see the.
Because I did not want to give a long, drawn out, emotional answer. It's okay. I was trying to just find something concise to say.
Listen, right out loud is a safe space.
Yeah. Okay, I think I would probably, when I'm thinking of my younger self, I'm thinking of myself before high school. And so before high school, Keith, I would tell him to understand his self-worth and to be fearless and just to know that he's really talented. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, short and concise.
All right.
There you go. Boom. There you go.
Sure. Look, we can go deep now. Cool. Thank you guys. Thank you both for taking the time out of your day, evening, to appear on this episode, one of the new episodes of Ryan Out Loud of this season, season six. I'm grateful for you guys. And I love you. I put single man problems in that category with transplants, border boys. Oh my gosh, Noah's Ark. So many projects from Black queer creative filmmakers that I, that, you know, y'all and have, and you have my support, you know.
We truly appreciate that.
Have my support. Keith, we got to follow each other on social media.
Yes, we do.
The way I can support, just let me know. Just let me know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bobby B always, you know, we've been months, and I've been wanting to have this moment with you, and
thank you, Keith.
I'm glad, you know, sometimes like I wanted to ask if the lead actor can come on, but you know, winning actor, you might be busy, so
it's totally fine.
You know, so I got a good hour, you know,
right?
A couple minutes over, but I appreciate y'all. I really, really do. I respect your work, and like I said, you have my support.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, you know, I got to try and get one more. I got to get in.
Go ahead.
All right. How many volumes are we getting?
Oh.
Is it more than, is it just two?
You know, we could go, all I have to say is if the people have to show up and show out and tune in and share and let everyone know, the more this become boop, 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 the more we will, you know, come correct. We've been coming correct, but the more we will deliver. So, you know, we have a few volumes up our sleeves. It's just, you know, folks have to really show up and show up in numbers. So,
yeah. I have something coming on my TikTok really soon. That's aside from this, that is for single man problems. So is volume two recorded, filmed, or no, not yet?
Not yet. We're soon about to go back into the writer's room. Obviously we had to take a chill because of everything that was happening. Yes. But we will be going back into the room real soon, and we hope to, you know, get things up and running again next year. So but you know, right, we just, you know, we don't have like an official release date, but the goal is to get things up and running by next year. So, but yeah,
but all I know is volume two will be coming.
Oh yes, volume two will be coming. It will be coming. You know,
can I come to the premiere?
Like, absolutely, yeah,
come to the premiere.
Please come to the
Can I play Ronnie's annoying cousin? Does he have siblings? Like, Listen, it's all about who you talk to. Listen.
Well, you know.
Back in my day, you know, I
not back in my day.
Tell me, I was going to be the male Raven Simone, right? I studied that one.
Yo,
that's the Raven down to the face.
Action. Screaming.
Like, listen, I was like, I was going to be an actor. You couldn't
listen, tell. But okay. You know, it's never too late. You know, it's never too late. So, you know, but number one again. I don't know. We're going back to the room. So once you get in the room, you know, things will. So
I'm excited for you guys. You deserve volume 40. Okay. There's so many stories. You know, there's a lot of things of Ronnie, you know, Maxwell that remind me of Insecure.
You know? Jati Iso, who is the blueprint of all of this.
Yeah, Insecure was a huge inspiration for
Sam. It was a huge inspiration, absolutely. Aqua Black or Insecure, this Issa's journey.
And that's that had similar start outs too. Like,
so
keep going. I'm rooting for y'all. Have my support anytime. You just gotta DM me, text, whatever. Ryan,
I got you.
Live, talk about this shit, like, whatever.
Right. You gotta keep the train going.
I got you.
That right now. I got you. Absolutely. Yes.
So just tell the listeners where they can find Keith, where they can find you, Bobby, where they can find you on social media, and tell them where they can watch. I feel like they know by now, but still, pitch it all.
Okay.
So y'all can find me. I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok. It's Keith Like Keith. And what was the last part?
What was the last part?
It was asking like about cigarette problems. Like, where can
go my cigarette? And of course, you know.
Hold on. I forgot my own question.
I'm going to reset so you can fix this in post-production.
All right, cool. And reset and go. Boom.
All right, y'all. So y'all can find me on my most active social media, which is Instagram and TikTok. And it's at Keith Like Keith. If you want to follow me on Facebook, that's fine. I barely use it, but it's just Keith Rhymes on Facebook. And of course, y'all, please tune in and watch Single Man Problems on Tubi. Go back to social media, let us know how y'all feel about it, and we appreciate y'all so much.
Yes, and I am Bobby Ashley. That's literally my handle. I am Bobby Ashley on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I'm barely on Facebook here and there, so my primary social medias are Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, so follow me at I am Bobby Ashley. And you can watch Single Man Problems Volume 1, which is now streaming for free only on Tubi. Help us get those numbers up. Help us get us on the most popular list. Let Tubi know that we are here, we are queer, and baby, we ain't going nowhere. So with that being said, please watch our film and follow the Single Man Problem plays at Single Man Problems on Instagram and Twitter, and we cannot wait to deliver volume 2.
Y'all heard it first. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Y'all remember, Black Lives Matter, Black Queer Lives Matter, and Black Trans Lives Matter. That will never change. Until next time, this has been another amazing episode of Ryan Out Loud.